Hello, my name is Stefan Gimolero, and joining me is An Dao. It is April 25th, and we're going to be talking about some Legacy tonight.
We love some Legacy. This is going to be our, inaugural podcast episode one.
We don't have a name yet.
We don't have a name yet. How do you feel about Legacy Landscape?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm a fan of that. I am. Let's see if it sticks.
All right. Cool. So we're gonna have about 5 segments, and we're just gonna go through them. So why don't you kick us off, Stefan, with our first segment?
So first segment is we don't really know how to segue the best into what we want to talk about, but we do want to bring up a little bit of news, actually, that might be relevant to Legacy, involving some changes to the Wizards of the Coast executive lineup and a little bit of product strategy in the online space, if you want to walk us through that.
Sure, yeah. So it looks like the new president of WotC is now Mr. Chris Cox. He's formerly a VP at Microsoft. And the current president, Greg Leeds, will step down. And, you know, a lot of people have been saying this kind of marked the WotC's new interest in growing their Magic Online, and kind of just making sure they're going to invest a good amount of resources into making it good, and kind of,
I've heard a lot of rumors about it, but I have no idea how much of it is true. Like, we were talking earlier, and you mentioned that there might be like a subscription style service. Instead of purchasing cards, you can pay like some monthly fee and get access to whatever you want.
Yeah, and you know, this is a rumor I've been hearing a while back about a subscription service. So say you pay maybe, I don't know, $10, kind of like a Netflix subscription, and you'll have access to all of the cards in Magic's library, and you can use them, you know, however you like to attend events. So their way of making money will basically be the subscription and the event cost, the entry fees and stuff like that.
Oh, to like play a nightly tournament or a bigger event, something like that.
Yeah, and you know, I would not be surprised to see this be a real thing, because it would definitely open up a huge market of players who, you know, want to get online, want to build a couple of decks, want to goof around, try different ideas, instead of having to, what they're doing now is, right now is where you have to buy each card, and just the online marketplace to buying cards is a nightmare. It'll take me like an hour to buy maybe, you know, 8 cards.
And it's very third-party dominated, from my understanding.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of bots.
Yeah, that's not the best thing. And
yeah, it's an odd system.
We were talking about how there's a couple things here, especially with Legacy. The barrier to entry is so high that people just aren't interested in it. And the I've heard this all the time, like a common misconception with the Legacy community, or people in maybe the standard community or very casual players, like Legacy, isn't that just kind of reveal your turn one kill?
I've heard that a lot.
It's not that at all. And maybe the disillusionment will bring in a huge new flood of people with the ease of access to entry.
Yeah, and I do hope so as well. You know, I think with Modo getting better, regardless if they use a new system of cards, buying and selling cards, or subscription system, the fact that the cards are much cheaper online, like say right now I think an underground C on Modo is, you know, like less than $5.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So you can typically put together a legacy deck for relatively cheap, except some certain weird cards like Rishadon Ports is over $100.
Which is absurd for an online.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, but I do think that if Modo gets better, if Eternal formats like Legacy is going to benefit greatly because more people will be interested in jamming games, and that I think that's all net positive because more people jamming games, they're going to tell their friends about it, and more people are going to want to play the format.
Yeah, that's going to, I mean, there's so many positive spins on that. With ease of access to cards and higher number of players, you can have tournaments, you can get better faster by playing against more players. And a particular interest of mine, or two of them, are one, maybe there would be some kind of ladder ranking system for Legacy. I think that would, kick ass. And two is, how do I want to say this? Like, if you can make a deck from whatever cards you want, it's going to be the Brewer's Paradise, right? You can go buy, four Final Fortune, or just not have to buy your four Final Fortune to make your Final Fortune deck, and, probably won't be very good, but you can play it without worrying about investing in something that's not going to win you any games.
Yeah, and, I really hope that would be the case because I feel like as high as the power level of the format of Legacy is, there's still a lot of unexplored territory with the old cards and the new cards. And just, the fact that people don't get to play Legacy as often as I think, I personally don't get to play as often as I like, you tend to stick to safe choices. Because you don't want to waste the one weekend out of the week or the month where you get to play Legacy with, like, some crazy brew that's just going to lead you down to, a 0-4 bracket or something. Maybe that's just me. Maybe other people feel differently.
And the other thing with online that we haven't talked about or haven't brought up is I just pulled up Twitch right now, and I'm not kidding. The number one watch game right now is Hearthstone with 66,000 viewers, and all us magic purists know that it's a better game. So if we could get the magic community growing, there's no reason it couldn't be on top of the featured games. I mean, Blizzard is a powerful force, but magic as a game has been around for over 10 times longer.
Yeah, and, I think, there's just nothing but a bright future for Magic if Hasbro, invests in its online side properly, because the paper game doesn't have a problem attracting players, but I think the online side definitely needs a lot of help.
Yeah, I'd be excited for accessibility.
Yeah, and with whether the last 2 years of shareholder meetings, they kind of told us that the player growth have declined. So now WotC's new strategy is mainly just instead of getting more players playing, they're just trying to get more money from each player. Model kind of thing, and
that makes sense.
That seems to be working with the introductions of Expeditions in the standard sets and the Eternal Masters release announcements. Which, speaking of Eternal Masters, that's really exciting news. What do you think about that, Stefan?
Well, it's already had a huge impact on, the secondary market, right? I mean, as soon as it was announced and you see that Wasteland and Force of Will are going to be reprinted, those things dropped a little. And all the reserved list stuff, shot way up, right? The stuff that's not going to be reprinted anytime soon, if ever. The cool thing I think about this is it's definitely going to drive more interest in Legacy, especially because it's like replacing the Modern Master slot in the release schedule.
Right.
So people who were expecting a Modern Masters or some kind of set are going to be seeing this, and you know, a lot of those people are not Legacy players and might be interested in the replacement. So I think that's going to drive some people to the Eternal formats, particularly Legacy, because that's where most of these cards, I imagine, are going to be playable. And I have no idea what all the commons are going to be. I can think of 100 or hundreds of rares they can put in, though. So who knows what's going to get reprint.
Right. Well, you know, I really hope that the player base of Legacy will grow. You know, I do have hopeful reservations because, you know, as we all know, there's just so many play sets of duels out there.
Right.
And those are not getting reprinted anytime soon on the horizon. But, you know, the last time, or the first Modern Masters printing, apparently there were a lot of people who picked, you know, started building modern decks because a lot of the, you know, the flagship cards were now available in packs. And they could go into the store, you know, see someone opening packs, opening a card that they want, and they can offer up trades for them, where normally those cards are not even available to be obtained through trades and stuff like that. So I hope that happens for Legacy, but it is kind of scary times, I think, with what the impacts on the reserve list cards.
Yeah.
Like dual lands and LEDs.
I think there's going to be this weird polarization of decks where you have decks that use reserved list cards and decks which don't. You're going to see a rise in popularity of cards which don't have or have very few reserved list cards on there because they'll just be way cheaper to get in. Well, it's kind of like how Burn is frequently overrepresented at a tournaments because it's just a good deck that is, you know, an order of magnitude cheaper to build than the other stuff.
Fun fact, my first Legacy deck in a tournament was indeed a Burn deck.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jeez, how fun was that?
Yeah, I did good. The first of like Legacy tournament I've been to was at Eudaimonia in Berkeley.
Right.
And I took fourth place.
Oh, good job. And
I was like super stoked. There was, I think, about 20, 24 people that day, and I was so intimidated by every, you know, the whole thing, you know, the rituals of proper tournament play, you know. So, but, you know, it's a good deck, and I think a lot of people overlook it because of the bad stigma that comes with, you're that guy who's playing the Burn deck. You know, losing to a Burn deck, everyone gets kind of salty about it. I think it really causes a lot of people to not want to play that deck because they first don't want to be known as that Burn guy. And second of all, they don't feel like their victories mean anything when people kind of keep putting down the deck like that. But that's just me.
Yeah.
I think it's a great deck.
I do too. But as far as Eternal Masters goes, I think it's, I don't know if it's healthy or not. It is, there's definitely unhealthy aspects about the increased interest without the reserved list cards being reprinted just by nature of what they are, because those things' price are going to spike, right? So
yeah.
If anything, that could mean like more barriered entry. But, I mean, they can also, like, they're not going to reprint something more powerful than a dual land or LED, but they can obsolete plenty of cards or in various ways, I think.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think LEDs were about $60
before,
almost
yeah.
everywhere.
Yeah.
Before the announcement, and yeah. As soon as the announcement hit, it was $130, and then now it pulled back, you know, the price correction came back to about $100. 110 now.
Yeah.
That's still, you know, plenty for someone who's trying to get into Legacy.
Yeah, it's a healthy amount of cash. Jeez. Can't even build, like, and that's like the good version of Dredge now. Like, what people accept as a good version of Dredge over in 4LED now, right?
Yeah.
So, you can't even play Dredge anymore.
And speaking of Dredge, this deck is insane. Like, you know, every time I get matched up against that deck, I grow a new sense of respect for that deck, because that deck can be blistering fast and really powerful. Hard to interact with.
When was the last time you got matched up against it?
It was at the Channel Fireball 3K.
Oh, it was at the 3K. All right.
Yeah, it was, you know. The deck was really beast.
What round was that?
This was in the top four. So
top four?
Huh. Top four.
Yeah. I didn't know there's a Dredge player in that. I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, and, you know, Denny was telling me that Dredge guy was just wrecking people all day because Denny was watching him.
Oh, really? And people
said, like, dude, that guy was just, like, getting really lucky. Well, I mean, I guess he was mulling correctly, too. He was just getting really good hands, and he was just running over people.
Wow.
By the end of turn two and three.
Not respecting the people aren't running enough graveyard hate or something.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing is, I feel like when people play Dredge, it's either someone who's really good or who's someone who's not very good at all. It's really like, no, like, I'm an okay Dredge player. It's just like, you're really good or you're really terrible. So I think people don't give that deck also another deck where I feel like people don't give it enough respect. And if you look at it in the sideboards of a lot of decks right now, there's not a lot of graveyard hate. Really isn't.
How much graveyard hate do you run in your sideboard right now?
I'm also one of those guilty people. I run one Scavenging Ooze and two Surgicals. That's
all right.
Pretty much it.
All right. Well, that's kind of doing your part.
I still feel like it's not enough at all, but, you know.
I've skimped a little bit. I'm down to two Surgicals, a Death Rite in the board. I'm running a Death Rite in the board now. It's been all right. I got my Bog
tech.
In the main I can rotate for. So
that's tech. No one's expecting the Death Rite to come in.
No, they're not.
And that's also down from four Surgicals, I think, the last time I spoke to you.
Oh, yeah, down to two. This rotate for Bog in the main is generally good enough.
Yeah. That's a really powerful play, actually.
Unless, of course, you draw it, in which case you become very sad.
But that just means your crop rotation can get Dark Deaths on the Hesbian stage. So I'm not sure if we kind of told folks yet, but I play Elves. And Stefan, what do you play, Stefan?
I play Loam Pox. I've been playing it for about 2 years now.
Oh, the dirty, dirty Loam Pox.
Yes, sir.
It's just like everyone shows up and is not ready to deal with that.
No, sir.
I feel like a lot of decks are not.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I definitely have discovered, like, things people do when they play against me. After they play against me a number of times, it's like different patterns you have to use against a Loam attrition deck. You generally, when do you hold things and when do you play things to the board? It's not necessarily intuitive based on other legacy experiences.
Yeah, like, I was... I've been playing against you for a while with my Elves deck, and this is so terrible to admit, but I was listening to a podcast, and they were saying how if you're up against Pox, you shouldn't lead off with first turn land Death Rite. You should instead just play land and say go, and then kind of force you to either play Smallpox and not getting a creature, you're just going to get a land, a card, and a life from me. You know what I mean? So I kind of just sandbag creatures and then just kind of unload when I have a bunch of them out. I don't know. It was just something I haven't thought about doing at all when I'm playing against you.
If you have a fetch or a basic, you can do that. But if you're just going to throw out a a duel. It's, you know, you're just running, walking into wasteland.
Yeah, that's true.
Also, it depends if you have an explosive hand. If you have an explosive hand, I think that would be fine. But if you don't, then you're just giving me, like, I mean, you don't want to trade land drops with me, right? Like, that's...
Oh, no, not at all.
Very
yeah,
few decks want to trade land drops with Lone Pox.
That is true, yeah. And especially, I don't know if you have Smallpox in your opening hand or not.
Right.
And it also depends if I'm going first or second. Like, if I'm going... I think the case that they were talking about is if I'm going second, you're
right.
going first. So you lead off with a Swamp and just stares at me. My... Their theory is I should just lead off with a fetch or a basic and just say go.
Yeah. I mean, that's also risky, too, because if I have a loam instead of a smallpox, then you just let me get a free land.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, that's the thing. That's my rationale when I'm playing against you is I always want to hope to have a death right and then play it as soon as I can to kind of punish you to – force you to, you know, if you want to play loam, you're going to lose it, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I've always been getting crushed by you, and that smallpox really hurts. Like, it's really bad.
My best matchup in the format. Lucky you. Where were we? We can talk about this for forever.
Right, yeah.
We're talking about, yeah, the impact of, reserve list cards. Well, I guess we'll see. There might be a lot of... I really hope Port gets a reprint, and I feel like it will.
Yeah, me too. I think, speaking of Port, well, I really think that if you reprint Port, you're opening up Legacy to new players on a pretty big level, because you can... it opens them up to Goblins and D&T, Death and Taxes.
Yeah.
And those two decks are, to me, really good decks that reward play skill. And relatively cheap to build. You know, like, I know for Death and Taxes, it's Rishadon Ports, Wastelands, which confirmed to be reprinted.
Right.
And Caracas. And that's right. It, really. Everything else is, you know... you can find in a modern player's collection.
Yeah. Yeah. And hopefully the Vials get a reprint, too. That would be pretty hyped for that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think they are way too high for a card that should be more utility than anything, you know?
Yeah.
So they're like, I think they're $40 right now, so.
So maybe we'll have an influx of D&T, Merfolk, Goblin. So I guess tribal players type of thing. Tribal denial, something like that.
And as we'll cover later on in the episode, I actually think decks, tribal decks especially, is really, really good for the Legacy meta, because it kind of curves away from decks like Miracle's Dominance or Shardless. Tribal decks tend to have pretty good matchups against those two decks that, you know, in one time or another, have dominated Legacy. Like, in the recent meta, I feel like Charlotte's have been doing really well. And before that, Miracles have had, like, a long run of being, I think, the best deck of the format.
Yeah, I'm pretty sold on post Dig Through Time ban through... through the creation of Eldrazi, Miracles was pretty much undisputed the best deck in the format.
Oh,
I would down. I would argue.
Yeah, hands down.
There's a lot of versions. I don't have a strong opinion on which version is the best. They all seem good.
They all seem to win.
Yeah, really, they do. Yeah. What do you think the best deck during Treasure Cruise was?
Blue Red Delver.
You think that's the Blue Red Delver?
But I feel like by a long shot. And yeah. I think eventually people would be able to find answers for Blue Red Delver. Like, they were starting, Blue Red Delver was starting to kind of be kept back, but then the Treasure Cruise got banned, so
right.
We didn't really get to see that play out, that whole.
Because, what's his name? BBD, Brian Brandewin from the Star City Games, he took the GP New Jersey 2014 during that era with Jeskai Blade.
Yeah, he...
This is Treasure Cruise deck.
Yeah. Well, all I have to say is he's pretty good at Magic.
Yeah.
And he has consistently shown that he's able to grind GPs like nobody's business. Especially, he does really well in Legacy, too, which is kind of unexpected to me a little bit, but that's neither here or there.
What do you think the best... I'm going to take us down this tangent. I like this. What do you think the best decks were before, like, maybe the best one or two before Treasure Cruise? Do you think it was Miracles again?
Yeah. I do remember Miracles being really good. And I remember talking to a couple different Miracles players who, one of them is a really good friend of mine, Denny. And he when Treasure Cruise was printed, it made Blue Red Delver so good that this, what I feel like will be a lifelong Miracles player, have dropped Miracles and jammed Treasure Cruise.
Yeah.
For, which is like unreal to me because he, one, hates Delver as a card. And two, he doesn't like to play those tempo, you know, like mostly air decks.
He likes to play with,
you know, and for him to pick up Blue Red Delver and jam it says a lot about the power of Blue Red Delver at that time and how much Miracles have lost ground.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Then, yeah.
What do you think? That's just my recollection, but
you know how
memories are really bad.
Pre Treasure Cruise, I was kind of on the rug or bug train for a while when I got into Legacy in like 2013. It seemed to me like rug was the best deck during. The few months before, Treasure Cruise introduction, it looked like the two bug decks were doing super well, Delver and Shardless. Miracles was always up there, but I was under the impression that one of them might have been the best. It was pretty tight, but then
yeah. I remember Bug Delver is pretty sweet.
Yeah, I mean, it still is. I think it's better again, actually, after the Eldrazi.
Yeah, that's what I heard, too. That's what I heard, too.
This is Goyf stops their threats.
But, you know, I think Grixis is just such a well-oiled machine that no one wants to pick up Bug Delver and having it to kind of like tweak it a little. They're just going to pick up a winning deck and run with it.
Yeah, it always bothered me. I mean, Abrupt Decay is awesome, right? That's a great mirror breaker. They can't soft counter you.
It solves a lot of problems.
But it also feels so wrong to play a Delver deck without Bolt in your deck.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's one of the things where that kind of kept me from playing Bug Delver for a long while when I was messing around with Delver decks is I was just like, Delver is about tempo and speed and closing out the games, and not having Bolt just feels weird.
Yeah, it does feel weird.
It's like, what am I doing here? I'm playing like a weird mid-range deck that tries to kill you quickly.
I mean, it kind of works. It's like the, it's like that Stoneblade Delver deck. It's a little counterintuitive to me, but it puts up results. So, whatever.
It does. I remember playing that deck, and I think that's my least favorite Delver deck.
The Jeskai one.
Yeah, the Jeskai, or let's not call it Jeskai. American. American
don't call
Dumber.
Him. Don't call him. Oh, don't be that guy. Just call. All right, let's call him Blue White Red. Blue White Red.
We're gonna.
Just call Blue White Red.
Yeah. That deck was just boring.
Yeah, I mean, it's so weird to play a tempo deck with swords in it.
Yeah, it was just like I kill everything and then I just win with Stoneforge. You know, oh, you killed my Delver? Oh, I was just tricking you. My real main plan is Stoneforge. Delver was just a diversion.
Yeah, I don't understand. I mean, I guess it works.
Yeah, it was a boring deck to play to me. Yeah.
Want to talk about Eldrazi? I don't want to talk about I don't want to talk about Omnitel meta like this. It's a terrible thing.
Yeah, that was.
That was worse than Treasure Cruise.
Yeah, no, that deck was unreal. Unreal how good and consistent it was.
Yeah, never again.
But you know, on the topic of Eldrazi, I love Eldrazi. Well, how do you feel about it?
I think it's a top five Legacy deck. I think it's really good.
Yeah, you know, I've been hearing a lot of different people kind of putting it out there that they're not sure if Eldrazi is a real thing in Legacy, or if you know it will sustain its success. You know, like what do you say to that?
I say they're absolutely wrong. I started as soon as someone played that deck. I don't remember. I think one of our buddies built it. Ivan built it like really quick. He had a build.
Ivan
at
built
the store. Before I saw it anywhere online, and I looked at I saw him do it, and I started looking it up, and I got a couple lists online from some very small, like in the first couple weeks it was created, the Legacy dailies. I was struggling to think of what they were called on MTGO, and I saw like three one and some 4-0 with it, and
right.
I solitaired against it with a few different decks in the format, and obviously solitaring against it isn't the best playtesting, but if I'm solitaring both players and winning half the time with the Eldrazi deck, even if I'm biased even somehow in favor of that deck, which I wasn't trying to be, I was trying to figure out how to beat that then.
Right.
It's real. If it's consistently like, oh, half the time this is winning, I played for a few hours in some speed games, and something's winning half the time, that means it's a real deck.
Yeah. No, and I just point out that it's just a real testament to how much you love Magic and Legacy that you went online and solitaired some decks.
Yeah. I do like it. I wanted to know like how legit this thing was, and I'm proud to say I'm an early adopter. I'm gonna continue defending this thing until it's until people accept it as a mainstay.
Yeah, and I think the answer to me is simple. The deck is a real deck. I've had a guy at our local store. We play at Versus Games, and he was there to draft, but he was just kind of waiting around. And I was like, "Hey, like, are you here for Legacy?" He's like, "No, I don't have Legacy cards. They're too expensive." And I said, "Well, what format do you play?" He said, "Well, I play Modern." I said, "Oh, you do? What do you play in Modern?" He said, "Eldrazi." And I said, "Okay. Do you want to play Legacy?" He said, "Yeah, I do. It just seems really expensive." I said, "Not if you have Eldrazi built in Modern. You just have to literally buy maybe $500 worth more cards of basically just a four city of traders."
The four.
I guess it's not 500. Maybe it's 700, maybe.
Yeah, it's somewhere in that range.
Yeah, but the thing that surprised him wasn't the cost. It was the fact that Eldrazi was. He said Eldrazi is a deck in Legacy. I said yes, it's good. He said, "So it's a real deck in Legacy?" I was like, "Yeah, it's a very very solid deck. It's doing really well right now, and I don't see that changing anytime soon." And that, you know, as a Modern player, I think that took him really by surprise. I was like, "Dude, you have most of the cards."
Right. Yeah. Oh, there's so many things to talk about with it. I've seen a number of different builds flying around in various locations, and I don't know what's best. I've seen various numbers of Matter Reshaper from 0 to 4 sometimes. Like,
yeah.
It's always 4 chalices. I think the core of the deck is like the Soul Lands, obviously. The 4 chalices and the 4 Thought Not Seers. I think that's the real core of the deck.
Right, and when we're saying Soul Lands, we're saying 4 City of Traders, 4 Ancient Tomb, and I guess 4 Eye?
Yeah, the Eye acts as a 2, and the Eldrazi Temple, obviously, also acts as a 2 for the creatures.
Yeah, so I think, what is that, 4 different Soul Lands that they could use?
Yeah, right. They're called Soul Lands, for anyone listening who doesn't know, because named after Sol Rin, which taps for 2.
Yeah, taps for 2 colorless. Is it called colorless still?
Yeah, everyone's calling it colors now. I think
okay.
Wizards refactored that.
Okay. Yeah, it's been a lot of... have to really think about that. Yeah, so the deck is, you know, if anyone's wondering, if wants to play it in Legacy, it's a good deck. In fact, it's, I think, just in our store, there's been, I think, 3 people in the last time I was there that was playing the deck out of, like, 16, 18 people that showed up.
Oh, geez, really? I didn't think it was that high, but...
Maybe I'm wrong, but...
There are definitely people who play it at the store every week.
I think I might have gotten it mistaken with anime imports when I was there.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, now that I think about it, yeah, it was at anime imports. It was 3 people. I think there was about 18 people that was there for the Sunday winner box.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. The deck is just... It's great. It's... You know, what it is when I play against it, I feel like it's really fast. Even on their typical not God hand, you know, turn 1 Mimic, right, off of, I don't know, like Ancient Tomb or Eye.
Right.
Just even 1 Mimic. And then you go turn 2, play, say, City of Traders, tap all 2 both lands to make... you don't tap the Eye, you just tap the City to play Thought Knot, grab a card from my hand, and then swing in for 4. Like, that's just a typical start.
Yeah.
That's pretty brutal. Brutal for most decks to deal with, combo or otherwise.
I think the core of the deck is based on... The core strategy is going to drop a real turn 1 play, like the Mimic. The Endless One is obviously the weakest turn 1 play, I'd say. Or the Thorn of Amethyst.
Or Thorn is great.
Or the Chalice. And those are all very strong, like, turn 1 plays.
Yeah.
And I guess the turn 2 play that's obviously the best is the Thought Not Seer. Like, that card's just super good.
Yeah,
I mean it's like a click-like effect, I would say. But I mean, it exiles the card; it's just gone. And a lot of decks don't have a way to get the card back. Like Storm isn't getting rid of that creature; they just are down a card.
Yeah, that's just a straight like one of your cards is discarded into oblivion.
Yeah, it's just gone. And by the way, here's a 4/4.
Right. Yeah, that's gonna smash in very soon. Like I've seen start where it's just first turn Chalice. You're thinking, okay, that's pretty bad for me. Second turn Thought Not. Okay, it's got really worse. And I can see in many scenarios where those 2 cards can win the game on its just in that 2 thing. Like if the Eldrazi player does not play a single spell afterwards, I still feel like a lot of decks will just fold to that start.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Chalice, second turn Thought Knot, and just going to keep smacking for four till you're dead.
Yeah, I mean, that beats plenty of Legacy decks.
Yeah, you can't abrupt decay the Thought Knot. You can get the Chalice, but you know, now you just wasted a turn decaying something.
Yeah, now here's a Wasteland or a Factory and swing for four.
Yeah. Such a great deck. I really like it. And I think Thought Knot is so good that it... I think my prediction, it's going to start... I don't even think it's a bold prediction, but I think it's going to start to be seen played in other decks that are not Eldrazi, you know?
I totally agree. I don't know what archetypes it would easily slot into right now. In fact, I think there are very few it would slot into right now.
Right.
Actually, do you have any ideas?
Well, I'm currently building mono white angel stacks.
Oh, you're doing angel stacks?
And I'm very, very close to throwing just four of them in there.
I think that's right. That seems right to me.
Yeah, I don't see a downside to it, really. I think it's really good. That card is just bonkers. It's you can see that Wizard really kind of pushed the power level of that card quite a bit. And I'm glad they did. It's a sweet card. It's very good, but it's not like Treasure Cruise or something, you know.
Would you say it's a top 10 creature in Legacy right now?
Yeah, I would dare to venture that. Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so too.
Just by play by itself, I think it should be on that list, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it, just by virtue of being a 4-4 for 4, right? It's outside of Bolt and Decay.
Right.
So it's got the magic number. And, yeah.
The only thing that really gets it is a Source of Plowshares.
Swords is good.
The deck plays Chalice. And honestly, it plays so much threat that Thought Knot is just the first thing that you have to deal with. You know, there's stuff coming after that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Something. It'll be different, but something's coming.
Yeah. Right now, what I kind of want to talk about a little bit is, you know, the fact that I've talked to a lot of Legacy people, players, because that's all we hang out with. And a lot of people doesn't seem to like the fact that Eldrazi is doing so well. You know, you and I, we personally think it's great for the meta. It's pushing out miracles, which is a whole huge topic we can get into. But the fact that miracles is kind of like on the sidelines a little bit, and it's not completely dominant in the meta, have allowed a lot of other decks to be playable.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I really like the way Eldrazi has shaked things up. You know, how do you like playing as Eldrazi? Because I've had a few games that are just very non-interactive one way or the other. Yeah. And then I've had a few good ones. Like, I feel like more of the games, unfortunately, are not very interesting than the ones that are. Like, either I have a winning line and they can't stop me, or they have a winning line and I can't do anything. Maybe that's just a consequence of kind of the land's strategy against it.
Yeah. Actually, I don't think that's far off from my experience either. If they have a god hand, like, I'm pretty screwed.
Yeah.
You know, even as an elves deck, you know, where I can technically natural order on as early as turn two, you know, it's still very hard because they play Chalice. And obviously, they know I play elves, so they're going to maul into Chalice. If they have to go down to five, players have done it. Like, and then they just sit back and kind of smug a little bit, you know, just like, yep, I got my Chalice.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
That's a real, real problem because the Chalice, you know, I can get rid of it, but it buys them so much time that by the time I get rid of it, I'm dead.
Yeah.
So.
Green Sun seems incredibly good against that deck. Maybe your most valuable card.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Reclamation, Sage, Green Sun. Those are all stars in that matchup.
I mean, you can get your one drops.
Oh, right. Yeah, I have done that. I have done that.
If
yeah.
If you want to get the symbiote
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, get fancy with it. Pay two to, yeah, because then it's like a two casting cost when you pay one and X, green and X.
Have you David main deck decay?
No, I don't. I play three in the sideboard.
Right.
Yeah. You know, but what, you know, from what you see, Stefan, do you see what decks do you see that kind of been coming back due to Eldrazi?
So I
have a couple decks in mind, but I want to hear what.
Oh yeah, I think one big thing that's happening in there's a number of things right now. I think Eldrazi has done harm to some of the best decks in the format. Like Storm and Miracles. It seems to have a positive matchup against them.
Right.
And things that those decks were keeping down are going to kind of come out of the woodwork a little bit. So I think it's actually increasing the diversity of the metagame.
Right.
Because... let's talk about this first. What are some decks in your mind that have a good Eldrazi matchup? Like what's
easy.
What are yours?
First thing in my mind, Shardless Bug.
Shardless Bug, I agree. Yeah.
Tarmogoyf.
Play Tarmogoyf. Chalice doesn't hit it.
They play Strix, Belfort Strix, which
Strix
is
also great.
Eldrazi.
Yeah.
They play Decay main, so they can get rid of that Chalice and get their game plan going.
Oh, yeah. Turn one Chalice. Okay. Pass. All right.
Yeah.
Whatever. Force of Will.
Yeah. I remember at the last Channel Fireball 3K, I was it's round 5, round 6, round 7. Round 7, I, you know, draw with my opponent so we can just get into top 8 because we're locked for top 8. And he was playing Shardless Bug. And so I was like, at this point, I didn't really know how the matchup goes. He said, you know, him playing Shardless Bug, it's like very close to being a bye against Eldrazi. he said he loves to get matched up against Eldrazi all day if that's, you know, because he feels very confident that he has all the right tools to beat Eldrazi. And he said that's one of the reasons why he was playing that deck. Because it was good against Miracles, which was still, you know, lingering around. And it beat Eldrazi, which I think at that tournament, from what I could see, it seems to be about 25, maybe 30% of the players were on Eldrazi, which sounds kind of crazy, but... There were just
don't think it was that high, but there were definitely a lot in the room.
Yeah, but you know, there was also a bunch of Shardless Bug people trying to prey on the Eldrazi guys. Which I didn't know that was even a good matchup till that day.
Yeah, it makes sense. I feel like Blood Moon is pretty strong against them. Like they can't get colorless anymore, so that turns off some cards.
Yeah. I think I've seen some Miracles list kind of going back to playing two Blood Moon in a sideboard.
Ooh.
To deal with Eldrazi and Shardless.
And lands.
Oh, yeah, of course, and lands. Now that Shardless and Eldrazi is kind of prevalent in the Legacy meta.
Agreed. Yeah, we could do an entire episode about this. Couple other things. I think Painter might be... I think the mono-red Painter list might be pretty solid right now. Blood Moon is good against Eldrazi, and Painter is also very strong against them. And the number of Emrakuls flying around isn't too high right now, so that helps Painter as well.
That's true. Is Goblin Welder... kind of like a four of in most Painter decks, or is this just enough?
I think it's I think it's a four of. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that.
Right.
I know in the Painter Dex our buddies play it's a four of, but...
Right.
I haven't actually seen...
The Painter Dex I face up against, they play Whopper, so... You know, like at GP Seattle, the one guy who played Painter against me played four Goblin Whopper.
Oh, yeah. So, well, there's not as good because it's one CMC, right? But I suppose Grindstone is too. But
yeah, like, yeah. And I think they can just jam some Cavern of Souls.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't hurt in the Blood Moon deck too much. Like,
yeah, they're built to.
It's gonna become a mountain anyway.
Yeah, they're built to endure their own Blood Moon. So, and the combo, once it combo you out, you're just done. So, it doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but Eldrazi, it's flexible too. It's not too flexible, but you can play the effects you'd like. I've seen Sphere, Thorn, and then the acceleration, like additional acceleration. I've seen Spirit Guides. Diamonds, Mox Diamonds.
Yeah, you know, I'm not too hot on those Sphere main decks, like the Thorn or Sphere of Resistance.
Oh, I'm a big fan of the Thorn. I don't think Sphere is right, but I think Thorn is good.
I see. I don't even like Thorn in a
main
deck. Really? Yeah, I think the deck just wants more beef. As much beef as it has, it wants. I feel like I would like more.
What do you think about Trinisphere and think about Matter Reshaper?
In Eldrazi, I would just go with Matter Reshaper because I feel like a lot of times when how I beat Eldrazi is they just run out of gas. And then once they run out of gas, then they're drawing things like that Thorn of Amethyst. They're just dead. They're dead top decks. They're not doing anything. So I'm really glad that they play cards like that because eventually they're going to start hitting a runs of, you know, Chalice, you know, Thorn or Warping Whale, things like that, where it's just like, okay, not doing much anymore. You know, once you get to deal with their initial threats like Thought Knot, Reality Smasher, which is a huge beating, but if you're able to find a way to deal with that, you're okay.
Wow.
I do find that they run out of gas pretty easily. So my thing is, if I'm playing Eldrazi, I'm going to throw in as much beef as I can. And then if I want to play Thorn, I'll just play it on the side. And you already have a pretty good Storm matchup. Just the fact that you can mull to Chalice on game one. And then you have four Thought Knot, which, you know, cannot be understated how pretty solid it is against Storm, you know. It can be the reason that you just take down game one a lot of the times, I think. On top of Chavez, of course. But.
Right. We wrote down we wanted to talk about City of Traders a little bit. Just briefly. Just a smidgen. because of... So what did the price on this? I remember being somewhere between like $50 and $60 before the Eternal Masters announcement.
Yeah, I can verify that because I was picking up cities before. I picked up cities before Eldrazi was released in that set, but yeah, the price didn't change much even afterwards. Yeah.
But. I think this card is, like, its value isn't going down anytime soon.
No, not at all. I mean, it's played in Sneak and Show.
Yep.
Basically, all Show and Tell variants will play this deck, Omni Show. And it's played in Stacks. All variations of Stacks is going to want this card. I believe it's played in Painter, too, right?
I've seen Ancient Tomb and City both in Painter, yeah.
Yeah, and now Eldrazi. This is a reserve list card, so that's we should get that out the way. Now, the reason I want to talk about City a little bit too is because Ive Ugin has been banned in Modern. So that card, I think, was about $30, $40 before the banning. Now it's about $10. So the barrier to entry to playing Eldrazi and Legacy has been lowered because Eye is so easily available now.
Right. Yeah, I guess it still sees playing like 12 posts in Legacy, but that's it, right?
Yeah, and I think it's just a one-of in the 12 post deck.
Yeah.
So, you know, everything is, with Eye being banned too, a lot of the Eldrazi is just at the lowest point right now. You can literally pick up Thought Knots for about $5 on Sick Deals on Facebook. You know, and all the other Eldrazi's are really cheap. Like, I think Smashers about $3.54. You know, it's all the creatures are cheap. I think the only thing that really holds you back is the Wastelands, which is getting reprinted. The Eye just got really cheap. Chalice, that's like $35
each.
Yeah.
What? I had no idea it was that high. I got mine like 7 or 8 months ago for like what, $6 a piece.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
It spiked really hard when Channel Fireball team was playing their version of Eldrazi in one of the big term. I think it was a Pro Tour for Modern.
Maybe that makes sense.
And they did really well, and Chalice looked really good on camera and was a key part of the deck for the Modern deck. And that it went, I think it was like $15. It went to $40, $45 just on that alone. And then they kind of corrected down to about $35 right now. $30, I think, you can easily get that. But yeah, I mean, realistically, it's very cheap for Legacy cards, you know. And so once all these cards are going down like that, something has to go up. Typically, something will go up. And the only thing that I can see that will go rise up in price is the City of Traders. That's the only card that is on the reserve list, I believe, in that deck.
Is it the only reserve list card in that deck? Yeah, I guess so. Yep.
And it's a key part of the deck. It's just, it's not like, you know, a sideboard option. This is a key part of the Eldrazi deck. So I think as expensive as $100 is for each copy, I can only see this thing going up even more as more people want to play Eldrazi, as the Magic community recognizes that Eldrazi is indeed a real deck in Legacy.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, man. Well, maybe we can make our next episode about how exactly it's transformed the metagame, really get into some really juicy details about it.
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to.
Was there anything else you wanted to talk about for this one? We talked about Eternal Masters, talked about some finance, we talked about our deck.
You know, Ive Ugin banned in Modern, Sword of the Meek is unbanned, the Foundry is unbanned, Ancestral Visions is unbanned. Ancestral Visions, I think that one has some relevance to Legacy. It's, I think it was easily picked, you can pick it up for about $10 a copy, easy, before the unbanning. Now it's about $50.
That deck has got to be, that's, Shardless Bug is just so expensive to build. Is it the most expensive deck?
I think besides lands, I think Shardless Bug is, besides lands and 12 post, Shardless Bug is one of the most expensive deck in Legacy. 12 post, I think, runs 3 candles of candelabras.
Oh, I've seen all sorts of builds. I haven't seen 3 in a long time, but I have seen 2 frequently.
Right.
Yeah.
And they run a Tabernacle, which is now $900 to $1,000.
That's a lot.
Which is insane. But, you know, it just speaks to the testament of Legacy. Like, I don't think Tabernacle is being played in any other format. I don't think so.
It's sideboard play in vintage, I think.
Right, but very French, right? I mean, otherwise.
Yeah, not very much.
You know, and I remember people writing about, oh, the death of Legacy, you know, yada, 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 less than a year ago. I'm just like, I'm not sure where that's coming from, because the prices of the format's cards, like, Tabernacle wouldn't be $900 to $1,000 if I think people are seeing that Legacy is going to die.
Yeah.
They just don't see it.
Yeah, I don't know what the actual supply of that card is like, but I don't know. It's a good card.
There might be 8 copies worldwide, and you have one.
That card is very important. Oh, man. This is playing against Storm. They just make a bunch of goblins. It's kind of snickering under your breath.
Right. You're just glad that they took that route instead of actually try to kill you.
Oh, yeah.
With tendrils.
Oh,
you're
man.
Just like, oh, I think I won this round.
Did I tell you last month I finally got my dream play with Tabernacle?
No, tell me.
It was a Delver match. I was just so excited about it. Oh, my God. It was, I think this is how it went down. It was, he played turn one, Delver, go. It was a Rug Delver deck, I think. Just like Misty, Delver.
That's a good turn one.
Yep, good turn one. So I played Mox Diamond, okay. I pitched some land, I don't remember what. And I play Innocent Blood. He dazes it. And for my land drop, I play Tabernacle. I'm just like, oh, so good. Oh, man.
And then what happened after that?
I walked a spell into the daze on purpose, so he untaps and Delver dies to Tabernacle.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
I did win that game. That was...
He must have been Sad Panda. I mean...
Yeah, I mean...
That's kind of brutal, because it's a one-off in your deck, and your opponents, I know I am, I don't expect that to be in your opening hand. I typically don't play factoring that in at all.
Yeah,
you know?
People don't, I mean...
I mean, later on in the game I will, but not in the first turn.
So. Yeah, Lone Pox is a very, like, malleable archetype anyway, so you can play all sorts of different lands.
Did he pick up your Tabernacle to make sure that it was real?
No, I don't think he did.
So, okay, that looks real. Yep, you got me. He's probably too embarrassed. Like, oh, man, this guy got me. Well, either way, the Delver would have died, right? So.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, he could have forced the Innocent Blood, I suppose. If he
Yeah, good point. But, you know, speaking as a former Delver player, when you get the chance to daze something like as juicy as
a removal spell,
especially an Innocent Blood, which is really hard to deal with later on in the game, and if I can daze that on the first turn with a Delver out, I'm going to
it was
an automatic impulse reaction. Like I'm not gonna even think it through.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, oh yeah, of course I'm gonna daze it. Yes, here you go. Here's my days. Yeah. He might be pissed because there's a very good chance he had a force.
No.
And he's probably playing it back to his mind. Man, I could really, really won that game.
I don't know. He was actually pretty good spirited, but he's like, oh, crap. He realized, like, the following turn that I had, like, baited it out. But what are you going to do, lose your Delver? So, no.
Yeah, you tend to have a good Delver matchup.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. Well, we want to close this guy out?
Sure.
All right.
What do we have next here? Looks like meta discussions.
Oh, I would love to do some meta discussions.
Oh, yeah.
And hopefully we can talk about some more decks later on, some finance.
Yep.
I wanted to give a shout out to Versus. If you're in San Francisco and you don't play Legacy with us, you should. Come to Versus games on Tuesday nights. It's in the Sunset. and play.
You should. You really should. Yeah, we have a really friendly crowd of folks. I can't remember the last time someone was being salty or terrible about it. We're generally a little bit older in age, I'd say closer towards our 30s. So, you know, we take the bad beats with a smile. And it's a pretty good turnout, too, right? Every Tuesdays, 7 p.m.
I think we're pretty consistently over 16.
Yeah, yeah. Every $10 evening. Entry.
Yep.
It's pretty, you know, three short rounds, but it gives us plenty of practice. I think the last Channel Fireball 3K, there were five people in the top eight that were versus players.
Yeah, I mean, just...
So we do have good people, or I like to think we have good people.
Yeah, probably, maybe.
And we also have, you know, a lot of new people to Legacy playing as well. So it's pretty mixed. It's pretty mixed. I learn a lot. I learn a lot playing at Versus. It's allowed me to enjoy Magic on a weekly basis while getting better at it. And so, yeah.
No superstars, though. I don't think we have any of the... we don't have any super names at our store.
Oh, yeah, no. No pros.
No pros.
I don't know. That might be for the better, I think.
Yeah, I think, man, I'm happy with that. But
yeah, pros... sorry, pros, but the ones I've came across have not been very nice.
Yeah, hey, you got a pro point at some point, I think. So
yeah, I scored one in TP Seattle, so I guess I'm amongst those pro people. Figuratively, I don't think. Yeah. Anyways, so looks like the last big Legacy tournament was SCG Columbus.
Oh, yeah.
On April 17th of this year. And I'm just going to pull up the list here.
Oh, that's right. We wanted to go over that. Oh, it says 200 players. Okay. Oh, I remember all this. Oh, there's so much stuff going on here.
Yeah. So much stuff. Grixis. Looks like they live with it. Grixis Pyromancer took down the event.
It's a Delver. It's a Delver shell.
Yeah, it's definitely a Delver shell.
I wonder why they called it that. Whatever.
Especially when they only play, interestingly, three copies of Pyromancer in the main deck.
This guy cut one for a click.
Or in the whole 75, actually. It's just three copies.
Hmm.
I guess it gets kind of clunky when you're running, you know, 18 lands. I know you got Deathrite. Four copies of Deathrite, four copies of Delver, but, you know, a two drop is kind of clunky. When I was playing Rug, you know, Tarmogoyf was my least favorite creature. It was just two mana's a lot to ask for, to tap out for in Legacy when you're playing Delver, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting that... It's interesting they put the click. I guess what? I feel like the tournament that really put this deck on the map was the GP. Second place, Kalkano got it with his four stifle build, Grixis.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
It was definitely popularized before then. I remember one of the names that played it and got kind of popular with it, Eric Rill or something like that on SCG.
Oh, yeah, I remember him. Yeah, he was used to, I think he used to play a lot of SCG, right?
Yeah, he played Grixis and some four color lists. I don't really know the differentiation too well. It's like, do you have the these decks all have the green for the death rate activation, but
right,
I don't think they have any green in the board, and this one doesn't. But this list is the no four stifle. He has the two Cabal Therapy, a Forked Bolt, and a Spell Pierce instead. So maybe the click instead of a Pyromancer is a concession to a couple things. One of them might be the blue count.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said about that. Yeah, I think you're right. Let's see, I'm gonna count up the blue here. 1, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
You get 30?
Yeah, 18, 22. I have 26. I might.
Oh god, I must have double counted something.
Yeah, that's you know, it's pretty good. I personally prefer stifle builds. That's just me. But I've seen enough Delver decks succeed and win without stifle that I'm, you know, I can't really knock it. Success is success with that build. But I personally prefer stifle.
I'm a big fan of the probe therapy combo.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. They're only running 2 therapy and 4 probe. I love me some pro therapies. That card is so sweet.
I wonder why the fork.
Especially when you have Pyromancer.
Yeah.
It's a freebie there. What I do like about the Grixis Delver builds over some other builds is the fact that they play 1 to 2 Gurmog Angler. And my love for this card goes beyond just the 5/5 Delve on top of the fact that the art is ridiculously goofy. It's got to be intentional, but it's just so fun to beat down with a 5/5 that looks like a cartoon character or something. I don't know. It's your opponent's got to be enjoying it as well, I think. It's just a goofy card, but so good. And in this deck, it really provides a backbone. Because sometimes I think you can do a second turn Gurmog Angler. For a lot of hands.
Oh, I think it's possible, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
2 first fetches, turn, fetch. Something involving a probe.
Yeah, probe's got to be involved for that one.
For something.
What do you find interesting about this deck, Stefan?
I just like that it's playing all the Legacy best ofs. I mean, I'm of the opinion that Deathrite Shaman is the best creature in Legacy.
Agreed.
Yeah, the cards is super good. I mean, it's got great threat diversification among its creatures. I mean, and the Angler allows you to do that. The deck is soft to, like, what do you call it? Pyroclasm. Like, there's a lot of 1 or 2 toughness going on, but...
Yeah, Pyroclasm.
Angler definitely helps that. And then it just got all the... It's got all the best cards, right? I mean, it's got... I'm a huge fan of Probe as well. I think it's a very frustrating card to play. And it's like, oh, 2 life.
Yeah.
Now they know.
Yeah.
They know everything.
Yeah. I mean, Probe, to me, has always been, like, I remember when the card first came out and people were like, oh, well, is this card even good? Is it worth the slots? You are paying 2 life to see their hands. And all it does is cantrip, you know? But I remember looking back that a lot of the discussion around Probe really missed the point that seeing your opponent's hand is worth a lot.
Yeah, it's insane.
You know? So I would dare to say it's worth an extra card. So it cantrips itself, right? And then seeing your opponent's hand, I feel like you're essentially getting another card because the things you can play around their hands is saving you a lot of heartache.
I don't know if it's worth a card, but it's worth maybe, I don't know, something in between 0 and 1 cards. It's definitely worth 2 life.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember also when Storm first started playing it, and a lot of people were saying, well, I don't know if it's good enough in the deck. You know, the onlookers like myself, I was thinking that, and other people was kind of sharing my same feelings, but I remember asking the guys who actually played the Storm decks, and they looked at me and they're like, dude, it's undoubtedly going to be a staple now. I was like, really? They were like, yes, this card is insane, and it's going to kick out. I don't know what they took out for it.
Did Metamorphos used to see play in these lists?
Maybe.
Because they could have taken that spot. I don't know.
The Storm guys that I spoke to were very sure that it was gonna be the new staple in that deck.
Yeah, but I mean this deck it's just so good. Like it's got 6 duels, right? No basics, so that's a weak point. But It's got the four wastelands backed off by Soft Fermention and some of the best creatures in Legacy with a wide angle of creatures. We just talked about that being like including the Angler and the Pyromancer for going wide. And
right.
Things like Therapy or Stifle and Probe and just Cantrips and Force. Like that stuff's all it's just a great recipe for success.
Yeah, and I'm really glad you brought up the fact that you felt that this deck had one of its key strengths was the diversity of threats. The fact that it can go, you know, big with Angler, or just play out the typical Delver Secrets, get it flying, attack you. But then it has the Pyromancer plan, which I think a lot of other Delver decks don't have that, because they just that plan is cannot be understated how good that is, you know, when your opponent plays a bunch of removal, that the Pyromancer can really get there.
Yeah, and it's so good. Like, let's just say they don't have a lifelinking threat, right? Sometimes they do. But you're playing against a creature deck with no lifelink. You stall out the board with Pyromancer, and you drain with Deathrite Shaman. Like, those guys are best buddies.
Yeah.
Like, I've definitely seen games all the time.
A lot of routes to victory in
yeah.
this one.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, they got Delver good. Wasteland, also good.
Right, just the classic line,
yeah.
Delver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then daze your spell or follow it up with Wasteland.
Yep.
Get
do the last Thirst Bolt.
Yeah, still very good plan after all
good
these
plan.
Years.
Sorry, I interrupted you. What were you saying?
Oh no, I was just gonna kind of just move over to the sideboard, which.
Oh, you were super excited about this board.
Yeah, I really am. I really like the Invasive Surgery. For those who don't know what it does, it's one blue instant counter target sorcery spell. It has Delirium. If there are four or more card types among cards in your graveyard, search the graveyard, hand, and library that spell's controller for any number of cards with the same name as that spell, exile those cards, then that player shuffle his or her library.
Seems good.
So that's a lot of text, but it basically boils down to countering what I assume will be Terminus. I think this slot might have been Flusterstorm before, but now they're playing, you know, this. I really think it's a great card, because this deck, you dump so many cards into your graveyard really quickly. And by the time you're going to fight over a Terminus with a Miracles player, you know, you're well prepared to have the Delirium. And if not, you're still getting a one-for-one. You're countering a Terminus. Even if you don't get the Delirium, you're still fine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not as good. I mean, it's great against, like, the second show-and-tell. It's always not as good against the first show-and-tell.
Oh, yeah, that's right. See, that's how excited I am about this card against Miracles, that I totally forgot its other application. So I guess, best card. What do you think about the one Painful Truths?
So I talked to Richard, I believe it was. I played against he played against this version last week in our match 3, and I think he played this exact 75, and he was actually not crazy about the Painful Truths, but he was a huge fan of the Baleful Strixes, which I agree with. That helps a lot of matchups, I think.
Yeah, especially the Eldrazi matchup, mm-hmm. where, you know, just adds on. It's kind of like putting up a lot of roadblocks while you get to build out with the Pyromancer. So
yeah.
You just kind of throw Baleful Strix out there, kind of stop the onslaught while you figure how to get around this Eldrazi deck.
It's good against, I would say it's good in like anything where it's a little grindier, or like any Knight of the Reliquary style decks. Like, this is going to be great.
Right. And what I find also kind of sweet is this person is playing one Dark Glass, which I'm assuming is just a kill-all spell for maybe the mirror when you're facing down an angler, but what I'm thinking about is getting the Thought Knot. It's gotta be for the Thought Knot or the Reality Smasher.
Oh, yeah.
Gets around the chalice easily. And, yeah, sure, you lose 4 life, but you get your card back. and that Thought Knot is not breathing down your neck anymore, so you can start pumping out creatures with Pyromancer. Yeah. Or you can race with Delver.
Yeah, this member is very real. I think that card's going to see a little more play as we go on.
Yeah, and when I remember when this member was printed, I was very convinced that it was going to be played a lot in Legacy, but that didn't really pan out. I mean, it's played here and there, but I guess the 4 life really, really matters.
Yeah, I mean, 4 is starting to become a lot, right? Like, sometimes this deck can pay for it.
Right.
But in the decks where you need to kill something that's trying to kill you, that's around a 5-5, like, that's a big fair thing. Like,
yeah.
I mean, as a tempo deck, your life total might be higher than theirs, but if they've been grinding you out, then this becomes a little weaker. I don't know. It could also be great. It kills Angler, so.
Yeah. The sweet, sweet feeling of getting an Angler with it.
Yeah, it's definitely coming in the mirror.
And moving on to the next deck. It looks
Maybe
like second
not.
Place was taken down by Belcher, which is kind of surprising. This, you don't often see Belcher in the top of the standings like this.
This is getting into territory with, like, how Eldrazi has affected the metagame, the decks people are playing. But I think Belcher's been more favorable for some time now. Anything, ever since Shardless started playing, like, 3 Force of Will, and Infect plays 3 Force of Will, like, people are opening the door a little bit for these all-in combo decks to come in and really wreak havoc again when a lot of the the counterspell decks aren't playing 4 Force of Will anymore. Like that's
especially
huge.
And I think it's gotta help when Miracles again is, I cannot overstate this, is being put, you know, kind of kept in check by Eldrazi, and thank God for that.
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, this deck still has the same problems, and the presence of Chalice is still not great, but there's also a bunch of really fair decks popping up, like, exceedingly fair. Like, Nick Fitz got a few top 8s in the past month. Like, this is a consequence of the format becoming grindier.
Yeah, Nick Fit top 8-ed the Channel Fireball 3K.
And I've seen it in a couple other places online as well, other small tournaments that have their top 8 posted. Meta is becoming different in that sense. And Belcher's obviously going to have a field day with those guys.
Yeah.
They can wait till turn 2. Fire away.
I gotta give it to that Belcher guy. He's made it pretty far.
What's the is there anything weird going on this list? It looks pretty normal to me. I'm a big fan of that reanimate in the board. That's pretty sweet.
Reanimate? Let me pull that up.
Because why not? Throw it in there.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I see that. Yeah, what's the deal with that?
I don't know. I'd imagine it really is just kind of a gacha card.
Mm.
I mean, Reanimator is the combo killer, right?
Yeah.
So it's man.
Reanimate. Yeah, I'm trying to look at the main deck to see if there's a way they can mill you and then get you with the reanimate. And I'm not really
I don't know. Maybe there's a line. I'm definitely wrong about stuff from time to time. From time to time.
All right. Yeah, that's fair. Let's see. What's next? Blue, red, burn? Took third.
Is that a duller deck? I'm guessing it is. Oh, it's not. Oh, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Four Storm Chaser Mage.
Another Delver deck. The top of the rankings.
What's this? What do you think about Storm Chaser Mage? Because I'm very skeptical.
I personally don't like that card, but, I mean, I also like Stifle, and people are doing well without Stifle and Delver deck, so what do I know?
And stick us for Price of Progress.
I've never really enjoyed playing like blue red Delver shells as well, because it feels like what I kind of mentioned earlier, it's just a lot of air. You know, you're cantripping, and then you have like one, maybe two good threats, and then I don't know. It's just.
But this is a very.
I mean, it's. Outside of the Delver's Monastery Swift Spear and Storm Chaser Mage, the damage can stack pretty quick. I can see how. And, oh, four Price of Progress, main deck.
Oh, that's, yeah.
That's hot. I like that.
This is, I mean, Counterburn is a, I don't know how old of a strategy it is. I've been around for forever. But from my understanding, it's been around in some capacity for a long time.
Right. I you know, and with a lot of people playing Shardless right now, at least in you know, the Northern California meta that I've been witnessing, you know, blue red Delver playing for Price of Progress can't be all that bad.
No, you know. That card is good against a lot of decks that are good right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any of these other decks you want to talk about? Oh, Eldrazi in number four. Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
Aggro Loam. That's different.
Yeah, you don't see Aggro Loam too often either.
No.
Aggro Loam, what place is Aggro Loam there? Is that... That's eighth place, Aggro Loam.
This looks pretty
stocked. What I
kind of
find kind of cool is... I don't know if this is just because it's SCG, but there's two Sneak Attack decks in the top 16. One is 6th place, and the other is 15th place. And, you know, I haven't seen Sneak Attack in a while. I'm not sure what happened to it. I think it's a really powerful deck. I don't know.
I think D&T happened to it. People got tired of losing to it.
D&T. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, do you feel like right now, on the topic of D&T, do you feel like right now it's a good meta for Death and Taxes?
I don't. I don't think D&T is as good right now as it was. I think, D&T is also kind of malleable. You can splash any color in it.
Right.
So I think there's some room to explore, but the mono-white version, I don't think it's as strong as it was. I don't think, from what I've seen, the Eldrazi matchup is like, it's not terrible, but I don't think it's particularly good. I think some of these bigger, grindier decks that are coming out can tangle with D&T. Like, Mother Runes is still, you know, awesome, but you get things like Maverick that can fight D&T just fine.
Right.
And that's become more popular recently from what I've seen.
Right.
So I don't know how good it is right now. Also, like, yeah, I'm just not too impressed by it recently. I think there's something to explore with the build that's doing the Magus of the Moon and the recruiters.
Oh, the one that splashes red.
Yeah, I think there's something to that.
It's kind of funny because I spoke to couple of D&T players at Versus, and they both kind of don't really like the Red Splash. I've always thought not a lot of people play the Red Splash because of cost, because then you got to get, you know,
four recruiters.
Plateaus and Imperial Recruiters.
Which are way more than Plateaus. like
250 a piece.
Hopefully that gets a reprint.
I really hope that gets a reprint as well. I want to play Alluren.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah. But they both kind of told me that the Red Splash kind of take away from the focus of the deck, which is just controlling the pace of the game with Wastelands and Ports and just kind of locking things up. But, you know, I don't know. I don't play the deck enough to know. I think more so most people don't play that deck with the Red Splash because of the cost.
That's a good, yeah. One of the players, Steven, who's played D&T a little bit at the store, he's a big fan of the Red Splash. He thinks it's better.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh.
So.
You think is he going to build the Red Splash?
He's played it before. He has it.
Yeah.
But I really don't know D&T well enough. Like, Abby plays it, like, every week. but... she's been pretty well recently, but I don't know her opinion on, like, if she thinks it's good right now.
Right.
I guess she's probably the most popular D&T player at the store. Sheldon kind of abandoned it in favor of Infect.
Infect!
Which,
yeah.
I think is... Oh my goodness.
Just as a side note, I think Infect is so good in Modern right now, and it's really good in Legacy.
Dude. Okay, I asked you this morning what you thought the top five decks were in Legacy right now.
Right.
What did you say? I forgot.
I said Miracles.
Yep.
I said Elves.
Yep.
Let me find that. I said Miracles, Elves. Oh, I said Shardless for sure.
Yep.
That's. I might have mentioned Eldrazi. If I didn't, that's probably a mistake. And... yeah, what I remember. Oh yeah, so I said Charlas, Grixis, Delver, Miracles, Elves, and Omnitel.
Oh yeah, Omni. Yeah. I think Omni's very good right now. Very underrepresented.
Yeah, and then I think you said Grixis, Bug.
Yep.
I assume it's Charlas.
Yeah.
Lands.
I think Lands.
Miracles,
yep.
And Eldrazi. So
yep.
You included Eldrazi, I did not.
I feel like I might get rid of Eldrazi for Infect. I think Infect is super solid. But it's close. Also, I think Omni's also very good right now.
Mm.
I agree with that, but I might. It's like a 7, but I don't know what the best deck is right now. I think that's still up for grabs, but I think they're all like contenders. I'm a huge fan of lands, and you got elves on your list, so that's like.
That's probably just me being biased.
That's all right. I'm also biased towards lands.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, I you know. I really like these results here at the SCG Columbus because, you know, Miracles is one copy of Miracles in the top 16, 10th place by Joe Lossett.
Of course it is.
Right.
You guys mad popular.
You know, everyone knows how good he is at that deck.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, the meta's really opened up because I remember before Eldrazi came around, a lot of top 8s and top 16 were... populated with Miracles, you know. So it's, you know, Eldrazi kind of threw everything in a loop and kind of forced everyone to reevaluate their decks, card choices, and what decks is going to be good in the meta, in the Legacy meta.
Yeah. It is interesting that Storm is, like, on the downtick. It's really hurt by
The Eldrazi.
By the Eldrazi.
Menace.
By the Eldrazi.
Yeah,
menace.
You know, Denny put down Storm. Put down Miracles for 1 week, and played Storm, and he's convinced, like, all right, you know, I'm gonna play Storm now. I'm gonna focus on learning it, getting good, and you know, he got crushed by Eldrazi, and
yeah.
He just put it down after that one very short week of Storm. I think he played Storm before that a few times, but he was like, oh yeah, I'm going to try to get Storm going, and nope. Eldrazi will make you feel really bad. I think it's great, but let's see. So with that said, you know, with our love for Eldrazi, as it's very clear, what do you think? Do you have any other decks in mind that will crop up again? Now that Miracles is kind of, you know, pushed a little bit.
It's still really good, but yeah. I should also specify, I'm not the hugest fan of the games against Eldrazi. It's frequently you got it or you don't, at least in my experience. Some other decks might have more interaction with it.
Yeah.
So that's a little disappointing. I've definitely had some good games, but more of my games are just like a stomp one way or the other.
But yet you still found some room in your heart to love Eldrazi?
Oh, I mean, I really like what it's done in the metagame. But that deck itself is just like, I think it's good. I think it's got some real arguments, but it's definitely like, I mean, its lands are obviously where you attack it, like from my standpoint. You Blood Moon them, or you just waste, you can Loam Lock them, they can't do anything.
Right. But do you feel like there's too much Eldrazi in Legacy right now?
I think that it's going to stabilize. I think that it's really good right now, or at least maybe even a month ago, because people weren't ready for it. Right. I think True Name is going to make a big comeback, and it already has. These Bant lists have come out of seemingly nowhere. Like, when was the last time people played Bant? Like, from my understanding, it was Natural Order Bant was big. And then, like, when I got started playing in 2013, like, I never saw Bant. And then 2014, I saw some people play Shardless Bant, like, Splash, instead of white, instead of black, or in addition to black. They would play it with Stoneforge Mystic and, like, Meddling Mage.
Yeah.
So that was interesting, but all of a sudden, like, these Knight of the Reliquary Bant decks have started popping up, and I think it's because Stoneforge and True Name are solid against Eldrazi.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, like, True Name just shuts it down.
Yeah, I mean, it can't stop Smasher, but you get an equipment on it, and it does. Stoneforge, obviously, you can argue against, because if you play Stoneforge and they Thought Not You and they take whatever you get, like, that's bad. But also, it was a cantrip. Also, you got Force of Will to stop the Thought Not Seer. Like, you can establish yourself on the board. You might go at a card disadvantage, like you force something to get on the board, but your threats have more, like, staying power than theirs do. Like, maybe the Reality Smasher could be hard, but if you can to deal with, but you could stabilize, and once you stabilize, they're not gonna.
Yeah, they really
said,
don't have a way
guess.
To draw more cards
no.
to get their game plan going.
This is an aggro prison strategy.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of want to just talk briefly about, you know, as Danny kind of pointed out, there's a double Legacy Grand Prix weekend coming up on June 10th, 10th to 12th of this year.
Columbus.
Man, it's so exciting. Are you planning to go, by the way?
I don't know. I've been thinking about it. I could do it. Yeah. I would prefer to go to the Prague one. That'd be a sweet excuse to, like, get to Europe, but...
Right.
Probably not. Not going to happen with work and all that.
Yeah.
RL.
Do you feel like it's too early to kind of talk about what decks we expect to show up?
I think the same decks that we're talking about right now are going to be super popular.
So that kind of means you don't think the meta is going to change too much? Unless something big happens in Eldritch Moon?
I don't think anything big will happen there. I mean, were there any... In the newest set, is there anything that's being played in Legacy right now, aside from the little blue card in the sideboard we talked about? Whatever that was called?
No.
The sorcery
no.
Counter in?
Invasive Surgery. Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about it.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think so.
No. Yeah. I don't think there'll be anything. I mean, there could be, obviously, but... I don't think there's going to be any game changers. I don't think they're going to print a better Emrakul. The one that we already have is pretty good.
Yeah, that's kind of hard to beat. Now, that kind of moves us to the segment four here of finance. And we kind of, mentioned it earlier during conversations with Eldrazi, but... You know, with the Eternal Masters reprint incoming, which I'm very excited for, what would you recommend people to do now if they want to pick up some Legacy cards? Like, what do you have any recommendations?
Unless you think Magic's going to get less popular, like reserve list buys seem pretty good, especially City. We talked about that.
Yeah.
Duels are always, like, good to get to. But really, it's the cards for. I can't narrow this down. I can't hit this on the head exactly. But my idea is that unless you're super hardcore and you want to invest like thousands of dollars in a deck, which many Legacy players have and people continue to do, you're gonna want to invest in whatever cards like City of Traders that are. As small percentage of decks, like, you have your deck with the one reserve list card in it. So, like, it'll be accessible except for that card. Well, that card's suddenly going to become more expensive. I'm also not a I should also add a disclaimer. I'm not too much of a finance guy, but that's the way I see things.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds point on. I personally, myself right now, I've been really tempted to buy, as I always do, like if I see a sweet card with a good price, I'm tempted to buy it. I recently picked up a Crucible of Worlds.
Ooh.
Yeah, I only picked it up because it's like misprinted. It's got like all kind of ink smear on it.
Yeah.
It's really sweet. I'm a sucker for those things. But... like on the topic of Crucible Worlds, it's $60.
That's insane.
Right now, which is insane. Now, if you need Crucible right now, I don't recommend buying a card like that because it's not on the reserve list. And being that it's pretty pricey, there's a good chance that it could be in Eternal Masters. So I would recommend not picking up any non-reserve cards right now. And focus on picking up, like, say, for example, kind of what you said, Stefan, if someone is interested in playing Eldrazi, which we can't recommend highly enough.
If you want to win.
If you want to win.
Maybe not the best games.
And the games do end pretty quick, so you have all the time in the world to get something to eat and use the bathroom and get some water. And
oh, yeah.
Like
it does feel... It's not quite an all-in deck, but it does have that kind of feel to it. Like, it feels a lot like the Blood Moon decks to me. It's, you got to stick your lock piece down. Like, these decks are all, like, all-in on the same stuff, very susceptible to Force of Will.
Right.
Like, they do City of Traders, Exile, Spirit Guide, Blood Moon. You force it, and that's very bad for them.
Right.
It's the same thing. If you force the Chalice, stick your Deathrite Shaman and... let them thought not you, okay, whatever, and start. Go back in the wasteland and meet a land and play another threat.
Yeah. I feel like of all the stacks variant, Eldrazi is probably one of the more resilient. I don't even know if people consider it a stack deck, but I feel like it's amongst that type of gameplay where, you, like you said, you stick something like a Blood Moon or a Chalice. Eldrazi seems to have the most staying power in terms of, oh, you gonna force my Chalice? That's fine. I have Thought Not the next turn.
Yeah.
Which is also another like big punch, you know?
We keep coming back to Thought Not. It's all about that card. Like,
it really is. It really is. Yeah, I mean, like, another stack, like the mono red stacks Blood Moon stack.
Yeah.
Like, if you counter their Blood Moon, a lot of times you might just increase the odds of you winning that game by a long margin.
Yeah.
Because that's really that's what they're all trying to do, is just trying to Blood Moon you out, and if you can counter Blood Moon, kill one or two of their guys, they're like so far behind.
Yeah, they're out of gas. They need the lock piece to have more time to draw because of the variance brought about by the. That kind of deck just has very high susceptibility to variance, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, with that said, I think City of Traders is a good buy if you're planning to play Eldrazi. I recommend buying it before, not after Eternal Masters is released, just because I can't see that price ever going any lower than $100. And I think it's going to go higher once Eternal Masters is released and all the attention is shifted back from Standard. Because right now it's all about Shadows over Innistrad and Standard. All the attention is going to switch over to Legacy and Eternal formats as a whole for however long. And that can really cause prices go up, you know.
And what's the idea right now? It's on the Force One, the Wasteland. I've heard people say buy now because the actual amount of Eternal Masters product isn't going to be too high in volume. So because Force of Will is being printed in Mythic, there might not actually be that many Force of Wills in circulation, and the increased interest might offset
the
number of players who want to play Legacy now. So
yeah, I actually think upon Eternal Masters announcement, Force of Will and Wastelands drop much more than they should have.
I mean Wasteland maybe because it's rare, not a mythic, right?
Right.
But
Force is, you know, rarely ever played anything less than as a four of, and pretty much every blue deck plays Force.
Yeah.
And yeah, the fact that it's reprinted at Mythic is kind of disappointing to me, because that just tells me that the price won't budge that much.
At least the art's better. I do not like the old art. I think it's a little silly.
Yeah, you don't like the new art, huh?
No, I don't like the old art.
Oh, you don't like the old
art?
No,
I'm not a big fan.
Really?
Yeah.
That's very... Oh,
and
wow.
With such an iconic card such as Force of Will, I like the new one, but I think you can be really creative with I've talked with Peter about this. I think there's all sorts of different Force of Will type things in stories more than just repelling a fire blast. That is true.
And it feels like the new art is just trying to like reference back to the old art,
which I respect. That's cool.
Yeah. But I didn't know that you didn't like the old art at all.
I'm not too hot on the new art either, but I do respect the consistency across the artwork.
Right. Yeah, I think the fact that it's Mythic, it's really gonna. If anyone remembers Modern Master 1, when they reprinted Goyf and Mythic,
Goyf went up, right?
Yeah, the price of Goyf went up.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
You know. And Modern Masters 2, the price of Goyf went down, but that's because it's been reprinted in Modern Masters 1 and the supply of Modern Masters 2 was much larger. Now, from what I've been hearing, the size of reprint is going to be smaller than Modern Masters 2, but slightly bit larger than Modern Masters 1. That's just all from what I hear. I don't think there's any way we can prove that definitively, but I guess that's pretty safe to say. And if that's the case, the prices of mythic cards, any mythic cards in Eternal Masters, won't move that much. So that's something that people should keep in mind when they're making purchasing decision. You know, like if they announce that Jace, the Mind Sculptor, will be reprinted at mythic, and then you start seeing people going fire selling their Jaces right now, you might want to buy that.
Consider buying because it. That makes sense.
It might actually be a price correction much more lower than it should be.
So I would say like Jace, like I suppose the number of Jaces in circulation is comparable to the number of Force of Wills in circulation in some respect. But because Force was an uncommon, but it was old, so there was far fewer of them. But Jace is a mythic, and it's new, so there's more of them. But
right.
But just by virtue of that Force Wills, he's made way more legacy play than Jace.
Oh, yeah, that's actually a good point.
So Jace probably will. If Jace gets a reprint, it'll probably go down.
It'll probably go down
too much, but it might not. I doubt it would be higher than it is now. I don't think that would happen.
Right.
Like Goyf sees so much play in Modern, from my understanding.
But yeah, much more.
Yeah,
much more. So is there anything else you wanted to cover, Stefan?
No, I'm pretty happy with what we've done so far today. We've probably gone too long anyway. If any of you are still listening, good job. We appreciate the commitment. Commitment.
Right,
the passion for legacy.
All right, so I guess we should wrap it up. We will, just as a note to listeners, we will try to do a weekly podcast, but no promises or guarantees. Life do happen.
I promise that it's not going to happen.
That's a good disclaimer. You're very definitive. It's almost like you are planning not to do this every week.
Oh my goodness. How could I possibly say such a thing? Though I think we will find our rhythm and how we like approaching these things as time goes on. So I'm excited about that. So
yeah.
Thank you all for listening.
Thank you guys.
Yeah, again, I'm Stefan.
This is On.
And talk to you guys next time.
Oh, also before we go, anyone have a good idea on a name, let us know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we need a name. That's an important thing.
All right.
All right.
All right, thank you, Stefan.
Thanks, Ryan.
Making time.
Thank you for getting us to do this. This is going to be a lot of fun.
All right, I'm excited.
Sign off.
All right, bye-bye.